Thanks for listening. You're listening to the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network. And as always, I want to remind you, you heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. See you tomorrow, gang.
I don't know if you ever...
This is the Quality News Network. A sell-off in the Chinese stock market is being felt globally, including in the U.S. market. The Dow Jones dropped more than 500 points at one point in trading today. We'll have the latest numbers coming up in our business block. At Bagram Air Force Base in Afghanistan today, a suicide bomber struck the entrance to the U.S. military facility as Vice President Dick Cheney was inside. He was unhurt in the bombing. However, 23 people were killed, including a U.S. soldier, and 20 were wounded. A few hours after the blast, Vice President Cheney flew to Kabul to meet with Afghan President Hamid Karzai. Afterwards, Cheney left Afghanistan. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice said today that the U.S. and Iraqi government will start regional talks to stabilize Iraq. Neighbors Iran and Syria will be invited to take part in the diplomatic initiative. U.S. Army officials say in the rush to send thousands of troops to secure Baghdad, two Army combat brigades will skip their desert training and instead will finish their final preparations at their home bases. The desert training is meant to simulate the challenges soldiers can expect in Iraq. Accounts differ on a car bomb explosion west of Baghdad today near a park. Iraq's Interior Ministry reports that at least 18 boys playing soccer were killed. However, a U.S. military spokesman said it was a controlled blast that slightly wounded 30 people. U.S. and Iraqi troops also raided Sadr City today, the main Shiite militant stronghold. The jury in the trial of Lewis Scooter Libby is now in its fifth day of deliberations. In Washington, John D. Negroponte was sworn in today as the Deputy Secretary of State. He previously was the nation's first Director of National Intelligence. California's Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger told a meeting of the nation's governors that President Bush should build a smoking tent on the White House lawn, similar to the one he has outside of the Capitol in Sacramento. He also spoke out against political partisanship and described the tent as a way for lawmakers to end the bickering and bring harmony. More than 100 people were evacuated in San Francisco's North Beach neighborhood after a massive landslide. 100 cubic yards of rocks and boulders slid down the hillside after heavy rains Monday night. And at Cape Canaveral, Florida, a strong hailstorm damaged part of the external fuel tank of the space shuttle Atlantis. NASA officials are examining the damage. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news are next.
Run for your lives. The lenders are coming. They're in the mailbox. They're overloading your email. They're on the phone. They won't be denied. The best rate, the biggest bargain, fewer points, too much information. Gold Coast Financial to the rescue. They can offload the overload and handcraft a loan that suits your needs. Are you on lender overload? Relief is just minutes away. Call Gold Coast Financial, 831-649-8757. 831-649-8757. Gold Coast Financial.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I want to help you grow your business. At the Duplication Connection, we specialize in CD and DVD duplication in quantities from 1 to a million. If your company needs mass quantities of CDs or DVDs, you can now use us as one of your primary marketing tools. Thousands of our customers have depended on our fast turnaround and superior quality product for almost 20 years, and so will you. Please call us at 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
A new psychological study finds that college students today are more narcissistic and self-centered than students from earlier generations. Scientists at Stanford University School of Medicine say that garlic could not be found to reduce the bad LDL cholesterol levels. An FDA advisory panel has voted to recommend the approval of a vaccine that would be the first in the U.S. for prevention of the bird flu. Apple Inc. would not explain why the launch of Apple TV will be delayed by a few weeks. The $300 $1,000 set-top device will allow digital content to be transferred to a television set from a user's computer. Toyota will build a $1.3 billion plant in northeastern Mississippi to produce the crossover hybrid SUV, the Toyota Highlander. When production begins in 2010, 2,000 workers will be employed at the plant, which will be Toyota's eighth assembly plant in North America. The National Association of Realtors reports that in January, sales of existing homes went up by the highest amount in 2 years, yet for the sixth straight month, the price of homes fell. And the Commerce Department reports in January, durable goods orders dropped by 7.8%. Light Sweet Crude is trading at $61.50 a barrel. Near the close of Wall Street today, the Dow is down 394 points at 12,238, the NASDAQ down 97, S&P 500 down 50. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramov.
This is a top to, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11,
oh,
11,
and most of
11,
and amps then go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions of Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox!
All right, everybody, welcome aboard Foxed Up here for a, what is it, Tuesday morning on one side of the planet, or Tuesday afternoon on one side of the planet, Wednesday morning over here in Australia. And before I go anywhere, I have to announce some sad news in the world of Australian rock and roll. Early this morning, legendary rocker Billy Thorpe passed away from a massive heart attack. Now, we're gonna have a bonus track of the day today, and we're gonna go to it almost straight away here in just a minute. And you've heard we use this as a bumper on this program on a regular basis, and the track is "Most People I Know Think That I'm Crazy," and this is probably his signature tune. And Thorpey, seriously, they never built another one like Billy Thorpe. And a few years back on Australia Day at an outdoor festival, I had the great honor of being able to mix he and his band, the Aztecs. And it was just fantastic, and I still remember when they pulled up, and there was no actual, you know, hired sound guy with them, which surprised me. And I walked up and was talking to Billy and his guitar techs, and, you know, said, you know, "No sound guy?" And they said, no. And Billy turned to me and says, "Do you like mixing a loud rock and roll band?" And I said, "Of course I do." He says, "Well, go, son, go." And I had one of the most enjoyable sets I've ever mixed, and outdoors in Parramatta, you know, just a bunch of Aussies, crowd in the stage, loving every bit of it. And, you know, Billy had has had like a 30-year career. First hit was in 1963 with a song called Poison Ivy at the end of the kind of 60s pop era. And he just would continue to metamorphosize. And then in the 70s, suddenly there was this change where the guitars got loud. He had this stance where he put his hands behind his back and stomp his feet and dance around. And we would not have AC/DC. We would not have Cold Chisel. We will not have any of what would be known as Australian pub rock if it hadn't been for Billy Thorpe leading the way. So today's show is in memory of a man who is now officially a legend, Mr. Billy Thorpe. And this is Billy Thorpe and the Aztecs. Most people I know think that I'm crazy. Roll it, Agnes.
Most people I know think that I'm crazy, and under what times I act a little hasty. But if that's my way, and you should know it, then in every way help me to show.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black. And if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
Nice one, Agnes. Very nice. And yes, if it hadn't been for Thorpey, we wouldn't have the Screaming Jets either. And I know personally from speaking with Grant from the Screaming Jets what an influence Thorpey was on him and that whole band. And I mean, they've done gigs with Thorpey. And in fact, that gig that I was just mentioning where I got to mix Thorpey, the Jets were on that. They were the headliners on that gig. And we had just an awesome time, absolutely awesome time. And there you go. You know, I mean, you, when it comes to music, it's not only enjoying what you hear, but understanding where it came from. You know, it's like when people who are huge Rolling Stones fans and have never actually looked back at Robert Johnson, and I just sit there and think to myself, you're missing out on most of the point. So anyway, we're gonna go straight to the phones here. We got Gunny Bob on line one. How you doing, Mr. Bob? Welcome to the program.
Hello, JF, my down under friend. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. I'm a little down that we lost a bit of a legend today down here. But you know,
yeah.
But Thorpey gave us a lot of great music. He wrote some really, really good books, and you know he's a bit of a treasure down here. And you can't listen to Australian rock radio for you know a day and not hear Thorpey played. You know, so
I hear you.
You know, it's just one of those things. But what can I do for you today?
the sadness is that we're losing our legends and we're gaining, what do you call them, curmudgeons? You know? We've got a world full of these cretins running around doing strange things and talking out their, okay, out their arse, okay? We've got Condi out there, you know, Condi out there fronting for what? You know, it's a sadness. But, my friend.
Yes.
I heard the legendary Mike Malloy actually, he endorsed a gentleman from Texas that I strongly suggest that everybody in the world listen to, and that's Alex Jones. You know he's talking about what happened that got us into this mess, and how these people, these what I call them, curmudgeons, or, you know, little cretins, little creatures from hell, you know, the Bush administration, you know, and everything.
Yeah, I've had a rethink on Alex Jones, because I have to admit, last year I watched online one of his documentaries, and I was right with him, and then all of a sudden he went on this thing that the whole global warming movement was part of the New World Order.
Okay,
and
well, hey,
that no, but he seems
okay,
to have pulled,
John,
pulled
you got
on that.
To understand, Alex has a fear of the New World Order. He has a major. It's a major thing with him. It's nothing. It's just. It's kind of like, do you have a fetish?
Not any that I'm going to talk about on air.
Okay, but do you have one? That's all I asked you about. You don't have to talk about it on air. I just said, do you have a fetish?
Yes, sir. I've got a couple, I reckon.
Okay. And as every human being does, we all have fetishes, right? And that's one of Alex's. It's this New World Order thing. And he keeps, you know, he drones on and on about it, but when you get into the meat of his argument, into the meat, it's kind of like, okay, John, you are a green person. You believe in the planet and Gaia and Mother Earth. You believe it. You believe that we, the human beings on this planet, have an obligation to reestablish her, give her back her motherness, you know, just love her, right?
Yep.
Yes, that's a fact.
Absolutely.
Okay. And Alex has this thing about, you know, the New World Order thing, and this dark evil that is.
The whole Illuminati thing and whatnot, and what I was saying was I probably judged him too quickly on this one thing, and I've done more viewing and reading of his stuff, and he's very well researched. I think he covers a lot of issues incredibly well, and he's got a steel set of gonads in my mind for some of the things that he's done to get some of the information that he's got. I have a whole lot of respect for him.
The thing is, you know, if you do not listen well enough to the opposition or to those that don't speak exactly what you think you want them to speak, kind of like me, okay? I never tell you what you want to hear. I just tell you what I think. But then sometimes I tell you what I know, but I never tell you a lie. I don't try to, you know, kind of lead you off onto some strange planet Bush. I try to lead you to thinking for yourself. I tell my children, think outside the box. They've got you in a box, okay? Think outside the box. What are you going to do when you get out there? Okay? And it's, hey, my friend, my dear friend, I think of Australia and some of the Aussies I served with in Vietnam. Of course, to the Australian government, nobody in Australia ever served in Vietnam, according to, what is it, John Howard? No, we weren't involved in that. But yes, the Aussies, yeah, they, yeah, I served side by side with many Australian troopers in Vietnam. And, you know, it's not a secret, but it seems to be to the Australian government. But then now we got this fat punk, fat wog, this ugly wart on humanity, Dick Cheney, coming down there and shaking hands with Australians that served in Vietnam when he was ducking and covering like George W. Bush was the chicken that crossed the road to join the Texas Air National Guard, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I have to give a bit of credit to some of the Australian media. When Cheney was arriving, very many of the outlets were giving the history of Cheney and his deferments, and the fact that he has, you know, personally profited off of this current war. And the protests here in Australia were overblown in the media as far as their violence, which was unfortunate. But I think that some information that hadn't been widely known here in Australia, at least by the people with a passive interest in politics, finally kind of got a little bit of an eye-opener on exactly who Dick Cheney is and what he represents, and the fact that he's a bit of a lunatic.
John,
as far as I'm concerned.
John, he's not only a lunatic, he's a coward.
Yep.
You know what a coward is? John, I would love to meet you in a coffee house someplace and disagree with you and you know, and just meet you there and have a cup of coffee, you know, I mean, and just sit down and discuss issues. But we're dealing with nitwits, punks, and losers. Dick Cheney is a coward. He is a coward. I don't care if you spell it with capital K. You know, Dick Cheney, you know, starts with, you know, King Coward. No, King of the Coward. The punk wouldn't fight if you kicked his arse. And I didn't say,
no.
You know, he wouldn't. He'd send somebody that had some courage to do it for him. Like these guys are doing with the American troops, they're sending them to fight for them, but they ain't. Hey, that guy with the rubber chicken, what's his name again? George Bush. The guy with the rubber chicken, and he said he was in Baghdad, and then he says, no, I wasn't in Baghdad. I've never been in Iraq. You've been there. I've never been there, you know, like that. You remember that little kind of, you know, miss.
You're talking about the plastic turkey episode.
Oh,
I know.
Plastic turkey. Well, it's a rubber chicken to me. It's just a chip off the old George rubber chicken punk butt. Republican crap. The same stuff. You're dealing with the same stuff. They're telling you about plastic turkeys and rubber chickens, and they're just a bunch of gutless punks. And this Dick Cheney that came to your country had no right to be there. He didn't deserve to be there. He was never elected. He was selected by whom? The squatting chimpanzee.
And you know, I'll just because we're coming up on the break, I'll leave you with a couple little thoughts about his visit here. First of all, one of the best images that I saw from the protests in Sydney, there was an 80-year-old woman holding a flag saying something to the effect that the only thing right about Dick Cheney is his first name.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And how's this for hubris? Before he would meet with the opposition leader, he had Kevin Rudd had to promise not to discuss the conversation.
Ah.
And this is and Kevin Rudd is fully against this war, has been since day one, and he wants the Australian troops brought home. And he does believe in the actual actions in Afghanistan, because he says, look, if Osama bin Laden was responsible for 9/11,
See, that's the rub. You keep going against the rub. The rub is that Afghanistan had something to do with Osama bin Laden. And
absolutely.
Afghanistan... The Taliban wanted to turn Osama bin Laden over to a third world country that was not involved with 9/11 and have him tried before a world court, like in The Hague. They wanted to give him to an impartial jury and have him tried and found either guilty or not guilty of that crime, but they did not want to turn him over to those that wanted vengeance, the United States of America. We wanted to kill him and everything that he stood for, but we did not want justice. We wanted vengeance, and vengeance belongs to God. It does not belong to man.
You got it. You've got it, Bob. With that, I'm sorry. I got to wrap you up. We're late going to the bottom of the hour, but it's always great to talk to you. And you never rub me wrong, mate. So we'll speak to you again soon. And we're doing Foxed Up here, folks, on the Head On Radio Network. If you want to get in on the program, dial into 1-877-443-2366. We're going to come back and cover some stuff about old Johnny Howard, and that he's got some worries to deal with at the moment, and it's coming from an interesting place. And we're going to do the official track of the day for today. So stick around. We'll be right back after this.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Goofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in the news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive. Wednesday night prayer meeting on Head On with Bob Kincaid opens up a whole new realm of spirituality. Touch others. Reach out and touch faith. Join Brother Bob every Wednesday night for prayer meeting services here in the Tabernacle of Common Sense. Only on the Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
You can see that in Alberta, diversity is very strong. You see people from different places, from different backgrounds, and we all have learned to live together. That's why Alberta is a great place to live.
We come from different places, and we have to accept each other because our backgrounds are different, our cultures are different, and we have to understand other people.
I think that our community, being as open as it is, just gives people a chance to really enjoy interaction between different cultures and really get to know each other without making any judgments.
Trabajando juntos podemos lograr la gran diferencia en la comunidad. That it means by working together we can make a big difference in our community.
To find out how you can make a difference, visit helpmakeadifference.com. This message is brought to you by the Government of Alberta and Global Television.
Okay, this is a very musical show today. What are we going to do? It's who you're dealing with over here. But before I get on to the track of the day, which we're going to do a little bit of Faith No More in honor of a whole bunch of people. But very interesting news on Monday here. John Howard's got a very, very formidable challenger for his seat of Bennelong in this year's election. On Monday, the Australian Labor Party announced that a woman by the name of Maxine McHugh is going to challenge John Howard for his seat of Bennelong. Now, Maxine McHugh is a 30-year journalist for the ABC and the Bulletin. She is one of the most fine broadcast journalists that I've ever known. And she retired from the ABC at the end of last year. And she didn't really discuss what she was going to move on to do. And so shortly after she retired and the Christmas holidays were over, we come to find out that she became part of Kevin Rudd's advisory panel for his campaign. And then the big bomb gets dropped that she is challenging John Howard for his seat. Now, what makes this kind of interesting is John Howard's seat of Bennelong, the district, has shifted somewhat over the last couple of years. It shifted a bit further west, and also the demographics have changed dramatically. There's a whole lot more migrant population in his district, and he only had about a 4% margin in the last election, and he's held this seat since something like 1974. Okay, now the last Australian Prime Minister to actually lose his seat while in office was in 1929. So, I mean, Maxine McHugh's got a fight on her hands. However, she has faced John Howard in interviews and almost every politician in Parliament head-to-head on the Late Line program, in print media, and she handles all of them brilliantly. She is, I've just got a lot of respect for her. I think she's a fine journalist. Her husband, Bob Hogg, was the former secretary of the Australian Labor Party, I believe, and he was partially responsible for Bob Hawke's great victory years ago. And she's very, very clear that she is she's a novice at this, but she is a quick learner, and I have no doubt about that. And the City Morning Herald even said that she's a headache for the government. They say here, and you can find this actually at my blog, 12thharmonic.net, the former ABC television journalist Maxine McHugh will take on John Howard as Labour's candidate for the Prime Minister's electorate of Bennelong. Ms. McHugh left the ABC this year to work for the opposition leader, Kevin Rudd, said last night that Bennelong was one of the seats Labour had to win to oust the government in this year's federal election. Ms. McHugh was quoted as saying that she decided to run for the marginal Liberal electorate because she believed that would be more useful to the party than than contending a safe Labour seat. She says, doing that doesn't help Kevin Rudd win the 16 seats he needs to become Prime Minister, she said. Labour needs to be contesting marginal Liberal-held seats. That's the only way he's going to prevail. She'd approached Mr. Rudd with the proposal 2 weeks ago. Mr. Rudd was delighted by her decision. It took courage and determination to contest a seat that's held by the nation's most formidable politician. And this is the one thing you have to remember about John Howard. He's probably the best technical politician that Australia has ever produced. So she's got a fight on her hands. But I don't have any doubt that she's going to give him a run for his money. But here's the thing. Even if she doesn't win it this time, it's very much suspected that whether the Howard government gets back in or not in this election, Howard's going to retire after the election. So that means she can run again in a by-election. And I think she is a wonderful asset for the Australian Labour Party. She's and from all reports of people who know her, say she is a very gracious, sweet and woman. And when she retired last year, Gail and I had no idea that she'd been at this for 30 years. And you look at her, and you have a little trouble visually going, is she really that old? But hey, you know, it must be leading a good life for whatever reason. So with that, I want to go to today's track of the day, which was yesterday's track of the day, which we didn't get to because of issues we don't want to talk about. But anyway, from a band that I really, really dig, Faith No More, and this is a track called Evidence. And this track is for all the global warming deniers, for all those people that still think that there are weapons of mass destruction, for folks like Scooter Libby, who's been having to testify and give evidence, and the fact that Dick Cheney didn't testify or give evidence. The hook, you'll get what I mean with this. The evidence, it didn't mean a thing. So off of King for a Day, Fool for a Lifetime, Faith No More, Evidence. Roll it, Agnes. We'll be right back.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
The difference between what I do on my show and what all the right-wing types do on their shows is very simple. I'm not going to lie to you. That doesn't mean you're going to agree with me about everything or that you're going to like hearing everything I have to say, but I will guarantee you that when I say something on my show, I say it because I mean it and I believe it, and I'm not just saying it to get you riled up and to boost my ratings. No potty mouth, no trash talking, no BS, just the straight truth as I see it, because the lies may sound good for a while, but the truth is there forever. It's not always pleasant, it's not always nice, sometimes it's hard to see through all the crap, but it's there. And that's what you're going to get from me, and that's why you should listen to my show. The Cup of Joe Radio Show, Mondays and Fridays from noon to 2 Eastern Standard Time on the Head On Radio Network.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool black skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
That's the Big Dipper over there.
Yellow and blue make green.
Well, a cow pie really isn't a pie.
Come on, Ref, open your eyes!
Remember, you're always teaching. Teach carefully. React with rage, and kids will learn it's okay to do the same. Keep your cool, and kids will do likewise. For advice, visit actagainstviolence.org. Brought to you by MetLife Foundation, National Association for the Education of Young Children, and the Ad Council.
Nice one, Agnes. Welcome back to Foxed Up, everybody. Don't have all that much time left, so I'm going to cover something that I think is really quite cool, and I've mentioned before about the Sunrise program here on Channel 7 in Australia, how they've got this Cool the Globe campaign, and you can find all their details at cooltheglobe.com. And another one of they've got a new campaign going on, and this one, the day after they launch it, it's discussed in Parliament straight away, and Howard goes poo 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 poo, and Peter Garrett goes, "You're a knob end." Not exactly those words, but something like that. But here's the new campaign, and I think that this is quite cool. It's called Lights Off Australia, and from the Cool the Globe website, it says city skylines filled with burning bright lights will be a thing of the past if Sunrise and the Australian Conservation Foundation have their way. The Lights Off Australia campaign was launched today on Sunrise, urging Australians to turn off lights they don't need. The first Wednesday of each month has been designated Lights Off Australia Night, which residents switch off lights and businesses turn off lights that aren't required overnight. The national initiative is part of the Cool the Globe and kicks off on Wednesday, the 7th of March, 2007. We're being realistic. We're not asking people to go without lights when they need them. We're saying if you're not using a light, then turn it off, said Sunrise executive producer Adam Boland. This whole campaign is about cutting down energy wastage. While we're starting with one day per month, we genuinely hope that this event starts to change people's habits and it becomes part of everyday life. ACF's Don Henry says commercial buildings use around a third of all electricity in cities, contributing to Australia's rising greenhouse gas emissions. Businesses can stop wasting energy and help tackle climate change by making sure the lights go off every night when the cleaners leave, by upgrading their lighting control systems, and by asking their energy retailer to switch them over to green power. Australians also are also being urged to turn off appliances left on standby, leaving mobile phone chargers, TVs, and microwaves on standby accounts for up to 10% of the average household's electricity use. Residents and businesses that participate in Lights Off Australia will be acknowledged on Sunrise. Now, so far, Deutsche Bank Australia is putting it to their board. Zurich Financial Group has put it to their board. And a whole bunch of primary schools came in the morning this was announced and put it to their teachers. And we have classrooms that are going to get involved. Now, when Peter Garrett mentioned this on the floor and asked John Howard whether he'd support this, John Howard just flipped it off and saying, this is a juvenile idea, and because he asked would he support the idea of playing along with this at Parliament House. And Howard just says, oh, there's security issues involved. And if you were actually a grown man, you wouldn't be making such juvenile recommendations, and just wrote it off. And this is not about, you know, taking you know, shutting down and making the place dark. The whole idea, and David Kosh on Sunrise has been making this point brilliantly over the past couple of days, this is about changing habits. It's all about changing the way we live our lives and what we think about when we do things. And again, I really, really have to give credit to Channel 7 for this. You know, they were the Sunrise was the first program in Australia to go carbon neutral. And in fact, Kashi had a global warming denier who said that Channel 7 is just on a scare campaign. And Kashi went head-to-head with this guy this morning on air. And Kashi had this big, thick stack of papers of research. And this idiot, and I'll get the details on this hopefully for tomorrow. Maybe I can pull some audio where, you know, this guy would just say, well, no, the seas aren't going to rise. No, it's all nonsense. And Kashi is just sitting there going through. He goes, well, what about this? And why is it that the insurance industry is actually taking this on? He says, oh, it's all just about image. And the question that I have, and their newsreader made comment a little bit later in the show that said, okay, so if maybe if the situation doesn't end up arising that, you know, sea levels rise the way that it is predicted by the massive science, if that doesn't happen, what is wrong about cleaning up our act? What is wrong with that? What is wrong about actually trying to reduce the damage that we do? Because, you know, if we just cleaned up the air pollution in cities, there would be 4,000 less deaths in Australia a year. There are 4,000 deaths due to air pollution alone in this small country that can be verified. So again, hats off to Kashi and Mel and the Australian Conservation Association for really, really taking this to the people and taking this to the government. And businesses are interested in this. And, you know, I mean, the Stern Report, as we know, really laid it out, the fact that if business wants to be in business in the coming decades and in the next century, we have to do something about what's going on. And people who just say that we're fear-mongering, I'm sorry, it's a bunch of crap. As far as I'm concerned, it's garbage. I mean, the real fear-mongering is things like, you know, convincing people to go into unjustified wars. That's fear-mongering. Not this. This is reality. This is reality. And to have a guy on the air who's an actual supposed journalist and columnist to say that, you know, the Pacific Islands that are getting ready to go under aren't a sign of the problem. And he actually, in the same breath, said, yes, the climate is warming, and it's probably due to man's influences, but it's all a scare campaign. I mean, the guy contradicted himself right there on air. So anyway, folks, we're running out of time here, and it was so good to be with you today. Thanks for joining me today. Thanks to Ben Birch, the White Rose Society, who does all our streaming and our archives. He's got the fundraiser still going on. Go over there and do the right thing. Thank you to the Mid-Atlantic Council of Carpenters for everything they do at the Horn. Peter Godbold for taking care of the techie stuff. Our mods, our bloggers, the ninjas, you guys rock. And Scott Barry at B1 Louder, thank you for the music. And, you know, as we say here on Foxed Up, folks, be good, be green. We'll see you tomorrow.
If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I would tell you that sometimes it's easier to desire and pursue the attention and admiration of 100 strangers than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me. And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes, eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be, as yours are. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. And I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's f***. If ever I would stop thinking about music.
This is the Quality News Network. A sell-off in the Chinese stock market is being felt globally, including in the U.S. market. The Dow Jones dropped more than 500 points during trading today, making it the worst one-day loss in more than 5 years. We'll have the closing numbers coming up in our business block. At Bagram Air Force Base in Afghanistan today, a suicide bomber struck the entrance to the U.S. military facility as Vice President Dick Cheney was inside. Cheney described it as a, quote, loud boom. He was unhurt in the bombing. However, 23 people were killed, including a U.S. soldier, and 20 were wounded. A few hours after the blast, Vice President Cheney flew to Kabul to meet with Afghan President Hamid Karzai. Afterwards, Cheney left Afghanistan. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice said today the U.S. and Iraqi government will start regional talks to stabilize Iraq. Neighbors Iran and Syria will be invited to take part in the diplomatic initiative. An Iraqi diplomat describes next month's event as a small but, quote, major ice-breaking attempt. Accounts differ on a car bomb explosion west of Baghdad today near a park in Ramadi. Iraq's Interior Ministry reports that at least 18 boys playing soccer were killed. However, a U.S. military spokesman said it was a controlled blast that slightly wounded 30 people. Southwest of Baghdad today, a roadside bomb blast killed 3 U.S. soldiers. Another U.S. soldier was also killed in a bombing in southern Iraq late Monday. In February, 77 American forces have died in the Iraq War. The jury in the trial of Lewis Scooter Libby is now in its fifth day of deliberations. Yesterday, the judge dismissed one of the jurors for exposure to media accounts of the trial over the weekend. That left 11 jurors to deliberate the fate of former Vice President Dick Cheney's chief of staff. In Washington, John D. Negroponte was sworn in today as Deputy Secretary of State. He previously was the nation's first Director of National Intelligence. At Cape Canaveral, Florida, a strong hailstorm damaged part of the external fuel tank of the space shuttle Atlantis. NASA officials will try to decide whether the damage will delay